Luke chapter 1, and then we'll look at Matthew chapter 2, but we'll look at this one first. We read several verses. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. And in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Now we know that Mary, the birth of the Lord was at Bethlehem, but she was conceived at Nazareth. The Holy Ghost came upon her in Nazareth. And then you remember they had to flee, and they went to Bethlehem, and then the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it states this a little clearer in Matthew chapter 2 and 1 verse, the last verse. Well, let's look. They fled and they went at birth, and then they came, ended up coming back to Nazareth. And verse 23, And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, which it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. He shall be called a Nazarene. And that's what I want to look at. I've never really looked at this in depth. The Nazarene. Simply the Nazarene. So let us first, before we look at this specific Nazarene, the Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at another one, Samson. Turn with me to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. But first, we're going to look at Samson as a type of Christ. Samson as a type of Christ, a Nazarite. Judges chapter 13, verse 1, And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Okay, this passage in Judges, it's a snapshot. it's a snapshot of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wording, and I don't know if you noticed it, but the wording between this, the angel speaking to Manoah's wife, and the angel speaking to Mary, the wording is very, very similar. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. That's exactly the same wording. It's almost identical to what the angel said to Mary. Okay, so the illustration between Samson and the birth of Samson and the birth of our Lord is very striking. The word Nazarite, Nazarene, is from the Hebrew word Nazar, or simply means to separate, to be separate, or to separate. Now, as Samson was, as it were, first it says that he's separated in his mother's womb to be holy unto God. Who's that sound like? The Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, what he was told it was going to do was going to be a deliverer or a savior of his people. Those two things sound familiar. And if you want to look at the vows and the whatnots, the historical account of the Nazarene, you would look at number 6, which we won't turn there. But number 6 in verse 2, it says, you know, they're not to shave their hair, but they're to be separate. You know, they're to be separated unto God for the work which he would have him do. First of all, Christ our Lord was holy, harmless, and undefiled. It says he was separate from sinners, specifically Hebrews 7 verse 26. Christ is that pure one, that lovely one, the immaculate one, the Holy One of God. And I quote Scott Richardson, a beautiful quote in one of the bulletins I got this week. The voice of the cross did not summon men to do, but to be satisfied with what was done. Now listen to this. It is finished. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only perfect thing which has ever been presented to God on man's behalf. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only perfect thing which has ever been presented to God on man's behalf. And indeed, Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 21 says, and whosoever offereth the sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. The sacrifice shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. That's Leviticus 22 and verse 21. That's the first thing. Christ was separated unto God from birth, before birth. Secondly, he, Christ, as Samson, as it was prophesied or spoken of in the Law and the Prophets, was to deliver his people. Well, as this book states over and over and over again, in Matthew 1:21, Christ was brought forth to, and he was going to save his people from their sins. So this is the second area in which Samson is a type of Christ. Christ has either saved or done so successfully, or he did not do it unsuccessfully. It can't be, you don't know, there's not a partial savior. He either saved his people from their sins successfully, or he was unsuccessful. And one after another, the scriptures declares that he hath put away sin by the sacrifice, perfect sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26. Isaiah 53:11 says that he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, and he will justify many. And then in verse 12, that Christ bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So, we've seen this one Samson as he portrays our blessed sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ, set aside, and he was going to deliver. He was going to deliver. He shall deliver. Secondly, now this is the part that I had never really seen, never thought about. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. So I have to use tools. But I do have an interlinear Greek Bible, which has the New Testament, and it's written out in Greek with everything, how it was given to our forefathers. Secondly, I proffer, Christ is the only true Nazarene. The only true Nazarene. And here's what I found, referring to Jesus of Nazareth. And look at, and you don't have to look at these passages, I have them written down. In Matthew 26:71, Mark 1:24, Mark 10:47, Mark 14:67, John 18:5, John 19:9, Acts 2:22, Acts 3:6, Acts 4:10, and Acts 22:8. It all says specifically Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus of Nazareth is how it's worded. Well, let's just look at one, John 8:18, John chapter 18. Verse 4. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. I am he. Now that, this passage, where it's every place that I've mentioned here where it says Jesus of Nazareth, I look at that interlinear Bible and it is Jesus the Nazarene. And you know the difference between of and the. You know the difference between the Savior and a Savior. That means there's no other one. There's no other name, says Acts, given among men whereby we must be saved. I just thought this was more than interesting. So all these passages used in the King James Version, and I even looked at the Amplified Version, and some of them they had Jesus the Nazarene, and some of them they had it as the King James. The original in the Greek is stated Jesus the Nazarene. Now, indeed, this is true because you look at Samson, and you look at in Numbers, and all these men who had the Nazarite vow, they were just men. Samson, sin. With the lie, all these different, man's heart is evil from birth, and we know that all shadows and types in the Old Testament are just that. No man, even Samson, even the picture, and that's where the pictures fall short in the types. Christ is the fulfillment of all those. He fell, as Samson did, except the Nazarene, except the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the embodiment and sum and substance of what a Nazarite was to be. He was completely set apart, never sinned. He had no sin. And he completely, perfectly satisfied all requirements. Everything the law was against us, and nailed him to the tree. Because only he is our true Redeemer. Christ only is the Nazarene. Completely separated from sin in himself. Never did any sin. Never would sin. Yet he was to deliver all his chosen ones from sin by taking all of our sins upon himself as our great and glorious substitute. He laid down his life, the scripture says, freely. Freely. That's what the word is. So we would not die eternally. This, I believe, was God's design to give his begotten son the preeminence, because we know he must have the preeminence and glory due his righteous name. As the Nazarene, he finds his perfect fulfillment in type. Now, let's look at one of the last things. Let's look a little further at this place called Nazareth. Nazareth. It's a place. It's a village. Really, literally. This was, what was this place and how was it viewed by the religious folks of the day, by people of the day? We'll turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This shows the immensity, the beauty, the awfulness of the humility that our Lord voluntarily took upon himself for us. Okay, what was this place? What was it viewed by the folks in the at that time? John chapter 1 and verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing? They're talking down about the town. They're talking down about the village. Can anything good come out of it? Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Paul is trying to speak to Ananias, the high priest, and he's presented there. You know, he's going to court, and he says in verse 3 of Acts 24, Paul says, "We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee. I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words." And this is the folks bringing accusation against Paul. For he said, "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." A pestilent fellow. A ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Our Lord was in a state of humiliation from his birth. He's and I didn't realize this, but he spent 5/6 83% of his life was in Nazarene. Was in Nazareth. Because when he was 30, then he went to his public ministry. So he spent most of his life in this town, this lowly village of Nazareth. Nazareth. It's humiliation. He was in danger of execution because he had to get born, had to flee here. So his family and his spouse, and his child, they had a child. They fled from Herod to go to Egypt. And even as a nursing child, the sufferings began, and they rode hard upon him, even unto death. He was always, you know, whether he was a carpenter or not, he was a carpenter's son. So this type of work was nothing great. It wasn't grand. There was no pomp and circumstance. Nazareth was a small town in Galilee, obscure, a poor settlement, nothing like Hebron or Shiloh or Bethel, which were far more substantial and important places biblically for trade and as the world sees things. Yet God chose this place to rear up his child. This is humility. This is one acquainted with grief from birth. We don't know anything about that. We have it well here. We have it well here. There's places Melinda and I will drive in the country, and it's just like they're just on the other side of the tracks, are not very attractive. People clean up their yard, do something. It's just like, why do people live that way? Nazareth was not well populated, and it wasn't a prestigious town. His parents, when he was offered at the sacrifice, they brought a pair to Simeon, as we saw last week. They brought a pair of turtle doves to offer for him to the priest. They had to offer something. If you had money, you offer a lamb. If you were poor, you had turtle doves. That's what we saw according to the law. This was humiliation. Thirdly, he lived in Nazareth, as I said, for 30 years or 83% of his life. You can see that in Luke 3:23. Our Redeemer's life was spent here in Nazareth, that lowly village, that common village among the poor of this world. Truly, this was humility. He was, so to speak, outside the large, bustling centers of the world. As a young man, he began his public ministry to the mockings and cruel hatred of the majority, to then be crucified outside the camp of Jerusalem. And he did all this on purpose. On purpose. This was his predestinated purpose. He did all this to redeem us to God. Complete perfection, redemption. He did this to honor his Father supremely. To honor the Lord, to honor his Father. And he did this to call a people unto himself. He came and he finished all the work and left nothing for us to do. O man of Nazareth, surely we can learn of him, follow him, love him, and tell others about him. It's not popular. You know, there's not a lot of pomp and circumstance, but this is Jesus the Nazarene. And I truly believe that this book is completely about our Lord, even as we have seen here today. I never would have thought of it. I was reading somebody and they pointed that out, and I said, well, how would I know that? Well, I started looking in every place. Jesus the Nazarene, set aside from birth, because he was the man, lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And everything he did was perfect. It had to be perfect to be accepted of the Lord. And he did truly deliver his people from their sin. Jesus the Nazarene. May he bless us, or we will truly not be blessed. So when you think about Bethlehem and you think about Nazareth, it's interesting to look and see what God says about these places. And it says something about his character. He wasn't interested in making a name for himself, a position. He was not interested in those things. His face was set as a flint. And he was in a straight until it was accomplished. And I am so thankful. I am so glad now we have liberty and freedom and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. What an amazing Savior, the Nazarene. Nathan, would you close this?